Well, bless God. For the sake of time, we're going right into the Word of God. Tonight, for a title, I want you to pay close attention. The title is called Once in a Lifetime. Once in a Lifetime. I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. The book of Luke, chapter 1. Once in a Lifetime. Close attention. Pay close attention tonight to the Word of God. Luke chapter 1 verse 5 says this. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Father, we want to thank you. Holy Ghost, I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would get our attention. God, that you would allow a soberness in this place. God, a weightiness. God, give us understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding tonight. Holy Ghost, speak to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I wanted to point out to you in this passage, this is a very interesting passage of scripture. We were talking about this man named Zechariah. And the first thing the scriptures begin to point out, I want you to look at it in verse 5. It says that he was a certain priest, which that word certain meant that he wasn't no regular dude. This was something different about him, that the scriptures began to identify him and say that he was a certain one. And then Luke even gave us his name. He said that he was a certain priest and his name was Zacharias. And it began to even go into his wife and his lineage and begin to tell you about his wife being barren and even his ministry. And so I want you to pay close attention to this man, Zechariah. Now, the one thing I want you to know is because when we begin to read the scriptures and the scriptures begin to point out certain things like what we see here, this word certain, talking about his lineage, it's like I believe that God is trying to get our attention to show us that what is getting ready to happen with this man is no mistake. It's not a mistake. It's not a fluke. I want to go a little bit into that. The Bible says that this man was a priest and that he was to go into the temple to burn incense. Now, there were many priests, and so that none of the priests would get puffed up thinking that they deserved something or they had some specific qualifications, what they would do is they would cast lots, kind of like throwing dice. And if you read in the Old Testament, they would do that oftentimes. But this casting of lots, they would take that as the will of God. And so the Bible says that this man, this certain priest, got the opportunity to burn incense in the temple. Now, I want to tell you the reason why it's titled Once in a Lifetime, because that's how often a priest would get to burn incense. If he got to burn it at all, it would be once in a lifetime. So you're talking about an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Unbeknownst to this man, God sets him up. He has this man in the temple. He's burning incense, and this burning of incense was like a time of prayer. They would do this in the morning and in the evening every day. And when this incense would go up and that smoke would go up in the air, it's as if God would begin to hear the prayers of the people. And so this man Zechariah now, he's in the temple, he burns the incense. But the scripture says that all of a sudden appeared an angel before him, the presence of God. And the scripture says that immediately fear fell upon him. And oftentimes that would happen. You read it in the Old Testament, you see angels appearing with a message from God, and people would immediately be fearful. But then you would hear the words following, they would speak peace. We've seen that even in the New Testament, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And he began to speak peace to them. But what I want to pay attention to tonight is this. When the angel appeared and he began to speak peace, and he told Zechariah who he was, and he told Zechariah that his prayers had been answered by God, that God has heard his prayer. Now, many don't know what this prayer was, whether he was actually praying for a son or was he praying for the coming of the Messiah. But God had answered his prayer, and he told him that the prayer that God was answering is that his wife, who was barren, who was unable to have children, will now have a son. Now, that sounds exciting. Because here you go. You've been wanting this child for your whole relationship with your wife, I'm sure. You see, in the scriptures, as we look in the scripture, children were a blessing from God. They still are. They're looking at me like, what? Children are a blessing from the Lord. And when a woman was barren, it was almost like she had a scar on her. It was almost like she was being punished by God. So I'm sure that there was a longing for this child. I'm sure that he prayed oftentimes that God would give his wife a child, that she would bear a child to carry on the name. But here he goes, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, here goes God. He shows up on the scene. And God comes to answer his prayer. And the scripture says that he didn't answer full of faith. He answered with unbelief. He began to point to himself like, yeah, I'm mad old. And my wife is mad old. How are we going? Hello? But what he didn't realize at the time was that he had a history. You see, you had Abraham and Sarah. You had Hannah, who was also barren. You had plenty in the scriptures who were barren, and yet God had given them a birth, a child. And so he responds in unbelief. Now, I believe this, that when God began to answer his prayer, this was a one-time, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to be in that place, to respond in faith, and to see God move. But here's what the scripture says happens. The scripture says that that child was still born, even though he responded in unbelief. The child was still born. He bore a son. His name was John. But here's what happened because of his unbelief. And this is what I want to, the message is about tonight. When he began to respond in unbelief, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came to him and told him, now, because of this unbelief, you'll be deaf and dumb, which meant that he'll lose his voice. The Bible says he lost his voice. He no longer had a voice for God. He couldn't share the goodness of God. He couldn't share what he saw inside there with that angel of the Lord when he appeared to him. He couldn't share. When he came out, the scripture said that the people was outside praying. And when he came out, they knew that he had an encounter with God. Because what would happen is when the priest would come out, he would say a benediction prayer over the people. But yet he was silenced. He lost his voice. Now, as we see The scriptures begin to show us the history of this man, Zechariah. It talks about him and his wife being righteous before God, and God telling us all these things about him. Again, I believe that God is saying this so that we would be clear that this is not a mistake. And I believe that tonight God wants to make this personal. And the call of God on every life in here is not a mistake. The plans that God has for your life is not a mistake. The fact that you're here tonight is not a mistake. You see, and just in case I miss something, God don't make mistakes. The fact that you were born is not a mistake. David knew that. The psalmist David, if you look at Psalms 139, we won't turn there, but David began to say, he says, listen, when I sit down, you know me. When I stand up, you know me. My thoughts are far off, you know them. He said, before I was in my mother's womb, you knew me. He said, when I was being made in seclusion behind the closed doors with nobody was there, you knew me. And he says, your thoughts towards me are more than the sand. See, David understood that his life wasn't a mistake. Nothing about him was a mistake. David also says in that particular passage, he says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know tonight that you are perfect to God? You are perfect. God made you perfect for the assignment that he has for you. You are perfect. That's why Zechariah was in that temple. It wasn't because of his father or his uncle or because of his cousin. It's because he was perfectly made for the assignment by God. Perfectly. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes, as humans, it's hard for us to believe that. You want to know why? Because we know all our failures. We know all our shortcomings. We know all those things that everybody don't get to see. And sometimes we count ourselves out because of that same thing. But God says, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are perfect. You are the perfect candidate for the job. Perfect. Now, let's talk a little bit about his prayer being answered. Verse 11 says this. It says, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You know, I just want to keep it real with y'all. Sometimes, I don't want to say it's normal, but it happens oftentimes. When God comes, there's a fear that comes. And I want to explain that a little bit. I remember taking this course called Experiencing God. And it was a particular section, and it was called The Crisis of Belief. The Crisis of Belief. And what that meant is that when God comes, God always comes with something extraordinary, something outside of your natural capabilities. God always comes with a task that's supernatural. He comes with something that only he can do. And what happens with the natural man is when he comes, we do just like Moses and say, not I. Surely you can't be talking about me. Come on, you saw me last night. I fell off. I screamed at my mom. I'm not ready. That's how we come. But we can't stay in that place. You understand what I'm saying? It's like the scripture says that we have a high priest who's in touch. He's in tune with our infirmities. Like, he knows how we're going to, how we are as the natural man. But we can't stay there. We got to come to this place where we believe God. And I mean that we believe God. We trust God. I'm telling you something. Me and Pastor Patrick, we was in the back, and he began to talk about this excitement. And I'm going to tell you, I can't explain it because I don't know. I know it's God, but I don't know exactly what's what. I can't put it into words, but I'm, like, excited because of the things that God is speaking, the things that I'm hearing from the body, what I'm seeing, how people are responding to the things of God. It's crazy. And it's like you sense in your spirit like something is about to happen. But God is preparing his people. He's preparing us. God has been cultivating us. He's been nurturing us. He's been training us. And I believe that tonight that God is bringing us a word like this because about what he's about to do. You see, this priest, God didn't shut him down and go, oh, you fell off, you acting unbelief, that's it, you out of here. No. But the Bible says that the scriptures was written for our admonishment. It was written for our examples. And so what we want to do is we want to take heed. God always comes. I told you, when he comes, he don't come so we can feel good and we can go, oh, praise God, I went to service. But he comes because he wants to invite you into what he's about to do. That's what he wants to do. And so he's giving us a pull up. There's some prayers in some hearts in here. Let me tell you something that even goes unheard. You never even voiced them out of your mouth. But there's some things inside of you. There's some groanings, some utterings that only the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit can bring. Only he can cause these things. And we begin to cry out these things and don't even know what we're really asking for. And just like this man, he's probably crying out for a son. He's probably crying out for the Messiah. But yet he didn't know that God was going to answer his prayer. But the prayer that he was going to answer was he was going to be the father of the forerunner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was going to come out with the voice to prepare the way. Even though Zechariah lost his voice, God was birthing a voice. He was giving him a voice. God wants to give us a voice. A voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I believe God is speaking to us on these lines because he's preparing to use us. And I'm telling you this. There's a measure of greatness sitting out there. It's a measure of greatness. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. In each of us, there's this thing that we know inside about who we are. There's something inside of us, no matter what's going on in our life right now, it tells us that our life was meant for something greater. And although we may not say it out of our mouth to other people all the time, there's something inside that witnesses with that. That there's something greater. My life is meant for something greater. And you know what that is? I believe that's the Holy Ghost. And he's drawing you. He's going, come on. Come on. Come on. Because see, he, like I told you, that invitation, he wants to give you that invitation into what he's about to do. Jesus said it. He said, I only do what I see my Father already doing. And God wants to bring us to that place. He wants to bring us to that place where we can see the miraculous done. Why it only got to happen here? It says that he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. We can see the miraculous. When we walk out these doors, when we sit in here amongst each other, those of us who are called by the name of Christ, we see miracles, one right after the other. We're all miracles. Because at some point in our life, we was all spiritually dead. But yet Christ came and then he resurrected us spiritually. And now we live again. That's right, give him praise. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory tonight. We give you honor, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Zechariah, he really didn't know the extent of that prayer. I'm telling you. He didn't know the extent of that prayer, asking for a son, asking for a child. He didn't know again. Jesus said this. He said, John the Baptist, he said, amongst women, there was no other greater ministry. No other greater ministry. And this was his cry. This was Zechariah's cry, not even fully knowing. Scripture says that God gives exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. God will take this city. God will take this nation, this world, and turn it upside down if one of us, if just one of us chose to believe God. Just one. We see the example. He didn't even believe God fully. But if one of us chose to say, God, you're right. And watch and see what God would do. Turn our house out. Turn our community upside down. Schools, workplace, the politicians, Wall Street, all that. God will turn that place out. That's what this is about. It's about souls. It's about eternity. God want every last one of them. That's what the Bible says. It says that he gave his life that none should perish, but that all would have everlasting life. Every last soul would have everlasting life. And God can do it. Because, see, he wouldn't tell us nothing in here that he can't do that would make him a liar. And he's not a man that he should lie. God is different from us. He's different. But I believe tonight that God has given us a charge. And I know I told you 1,000 times, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you another 1,000 times. Every time I get the opportunity to speak, God has chosen you to be one of this nation's deliverers. But you have to grab a hold of it and believe it. Simple as that. You have been chosen. You can't even get away from it. You have been chosen. And God is going to use you regardless. He's going to use your life. But you have been chosen. Man, if you could understand the enormity of that, that God has chosen you to be one of this nation's deliverers. He has chosen you to give you a voice to prepare the way. To prepare the way. He is giving you a voice. He has already equipped you and prepared you. You are ready. And I'm going to tell you, we could take this city. We could take this city for Christ if we believe God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was going to sing for y'all, but I'm going to opt out. Here's what we want to do while the band and choir is coming back. First, there are people in here who are not living for God. You know who you are. These plans that God has for your life, they can only come into fulfillment if you surrender to him. What I said tonight was nothing brand new to you. You've heard it before. God is only confirming himself that he has been speaking to you. That's all he's doing, is just confirming it. That you were hearing God. And you too are important to him. He is delighted with you. He is pleased with you. But he wants you into the fold. And what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to, first, by a show of hands, those people that I'm talking to, you know who you are. You are not living for God. Don't be afraid. Let me tell you something. I remember the first time, God bless you, God bless you. I remember the first time when I put my hand up. Let me tell you, I used to be sitting up there in the corner, and I wouldn't even come for worship. I would only come for the word. And I would duck because my mother used to sit down here somewhere. And I didn't want her to know that I was coming. But the time that I finally stood up and I wasn't ashamed anymore, God got a hold of my life. And I've never been the same. Hallelujah. But those that put their hands up, and I know that it's more, I just want to challenge you to step out in boldness. When everybody steps out, I want you to come up here with them, and we're just going to pray. And just as fast as we pray, if you pray believing God, he's going to come into your heart just like that. He's going to send the Holy Ghost right in, and all of a sudden, you'll see things differently. You won't be weird. You just see things differently. It's like your eyes, all of a sudden, the scales are gone. Now, the second person is the backslider. God is married to you. It's like a husband and a wife. You can get mad. That's what it is. No, I'm serious. That's just what it is. Just got to come to that place where you make up, and then we keep it moving. And so those that are here tonight, you all backslider, just bottom line. But you want to make it right with God. God wants to make it right with you. So you too, tonight, we're going to ask that when everybody comes, that you come up. And it's not to identify you, to put shame on you. No. We're going to shame the devil tonight. What we're going to do. Amen? And then the last person is, you know you've been meant for greatness. And you don't know how, but all you know is you want in. We're going to ask that you come up here tonight too. And we're going to pray that your response be a response of faith, a response where we believe in God. So we're going to have a time of worship, and I'm going to invite you to come up here, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Something with you too while you stand here. The very fact that she chose to sing this song was for me just a confirmation that God is here, that God has spoken to hearts. Because I woke up this morning, and there's some friends of mine that are here tonight, and they'll tell you, I woke up this morning with this song on my heart, this exact song. I said, I don't know what this is about, but I was singing this song all day long. I'm gonna tell you, God knows not only your name, but he knows every hair on your head. It's numbered. And again, his thoughts for you are more than the sand. Imagine that. He's pleased with you. He is delighted. God is excited right now. And And while I was over there just praying, all I could hear God say is, "You're in. You're in. You are in." And you believe that tonight. You are in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there's something really important here. Those people that have never given your life to God, tonight is your first time, and you want to accept Christ into your life. You want to become a Christian. You hear this stuff, and you want in. Just by a show of hands, it's going to actually be bold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, this day, he will remember you. He will remember you too, brother. Hallelujah. Any more? But what I want to do, I want to pray for you too. But what I want you to do is I want you to repeat after me. Because although God knows your name, he wants to hear your voice. There's something about your voice that really just causes his heart to bubble. And so I'm just going to say a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me. But for their sakes, I want to ask everybody to repeat with me. Amen. Father God, I thank you that you know my name. That you know everything about me. You know, Lord, that I am a sinner. That I've done things that were against your heart. But you said that if I would confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, making me brand new. And tonight, I believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for all my wrongdoings. But he rose again on the third day. And Father, I believe because I asked you to forgive me that I am forgiven. And now I am no longer the ruler of my life. But you are the king. You are the ruler. And I submit unto you. And I thank you, Father, for inviting me in to the kingdom of God. I am now a Christian. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. This, young brother, young sister, this is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your lifetime. This is greater than any inheritance that you can ever receive. Hallelujah. And I want to pray for the backslider. The backslider, where you at tonight? With boldness, hallelujah. God is pleased with you. God is pleased with you. He is pleased. Father, I thank you for those who are returning tonight, God. God, you said the same thing, God, if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God, meaning that we are once again have a clean slate in the Lamb's book of life. God, now I pray for my brothers and my sisters, God, that you would keep them. God, that you would seal them with your Holy Ghost. God, and that you would equip them. God, I pray that this night, God, the spirit of darkness will suffer a black eye. Oh, God, let it suffer great violence tonight. Father, we thank you for being so faithful, God. being so faithful. Thank you for forgiving us. And for that last person, I'm just going to pray for you. Those who you want in, you say, God, I don't know how or what you're going to do, but I want in. God, I pray for my brother and my sister tonight. God, and I pray, God, that you would give them a measure of faith, a greater measure of faith, God, to believe you. God, that measure of faith is here tonight. God, and all they have to do is receive it, God. God, and walk in it, God. God, you said it, and that's what it is, God. God, we see time and time again in the scriptures, God. God, people, you spoke to them. They believed you, God, and you brought to pass that very thing that you spoke to them. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, God, that you would give us your vision, God. God, you would cause us to see things from your perspective. That we would see things with your eyes, God. God, that we would see things that are not as if they are, Lord God. God, would you do it? Quicken us tonight, Holy Ghost. Give us the faith to believe. You said that if we had the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, that we could speak into this mountain and we could say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And God, we speak to this mountain of unbelief tonight. We say you gotta flee in Jesus' name. Father, you said if we would resist the devil, that he would flee. God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God, you've given us a sound mind. We can make clear and wise decisions, God. God, quicken us, God. Strengthen us. God, we pray for a greater hunger and a thirst for the word of God. God, you said that faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God, give us a hunger. God, we want to eat the whole scroll, God. God, and as we open up this word, I pray that you will remind us every time we open it up that we come face to face with the God who created the heavens and the earth. God, give us discernment, God. Give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We're praying for boldness, God. Boldness. God, equip us with boldness. God, we want to be able to proclaim the gospel boldly in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. God, you're counting us in. God, and again, we say we don't know how you're going to do it. God, or what it is that you're going to do. But we know that we are covered. God, and you've given us everything that we need. You've given us exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. God, we're asking for wisdom tonight, God. Give us wisdom, God. Father, we thank you. God, we honor you. God, let this not be a normal Friday night. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.